You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Let's give these guys a hell of a show.
And Daryl.
End is my name.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Hello and welcome to episode 109 of The Training Dummies, recording on October 15th of 2015, 3 weeks away from BlizzCon. My name is Rob, and I'm playing Hearthstone on my phone all the time, sometimes in the bathroom at work, too. And with me this evening is my bro host, all the way up from Canada, because we've gone international. Actually, we've been international since the beginning, huh?
Exactly. Hend is my main. Yep.
And you keep on using that word.
Good
Daryl,
stuff.
Welcome.
Yes.
And the guest that we've rescheduled and canceled on more times than probably any guest in the past, Russell, thank you for coming on tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys.
So, yes. Yeah. I didn't even have to. Everybody just applauded. That's good stuff.
Totally.
Thanks, chat room.
So I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe what happened was after Molson came on and we had a Hearthstone show a couple months ago, Russell, you sent us an email with some of your own tips and tricks, right?
Right, yeah. I thought that was a good episode. I just wanted to add a little bit more.
Well, your email was awesome. And then Daryl was like, dude, we should ask him if he wants to come on the show. And here we are. So if you've heard the show, we'll probably get to know you a little bit, and then we'll talk about some Hearthstone.
Sure.
If that works.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So when did you start playing Hearthstone?
I started playing back in the beta, which I guess was about 2 years ago. I had seen the advertisement for Hearthstone, the announcement, and I had played a lot of TCG games in the past. Like Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, even Pokemon back in the day, and I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. And once I got into the beta, I was just hooked from the start. I loved every single bit of it. It's really different from other games. You can make a lot of comparisons and stuff, but it's just addictive from the get-go. As soon as you open your first pack, all the sounds and everything. I've been playing ever since.
Well, let's,
It definitely has the Blizzard sauce all over it.
Well, let's get into some of those comparisons then. How would you compare Hearthstone to other trading card style games?
Obviously because it has the benefit of being a purely electronic game where all these randomized elements that are in Hearthstone, you can't really do those in real games. So that kind of sets it apart from games like Magic or other games where you have to roll a die or do some sort of controlled random element. However, the basis of, using lands to generate mana and stuff like that and Magic, that kind of set the framework for everything that is Hearthstone, where you build mana over the course of time to play cards. One big difference that I had kind of had to figure out from the get-go was I played Yu-Gi-Oh! For a very long time, and the health values of your cards in Yu-Gi-Oh! Didn't really matter as much because you would play those cards in either attack mode or defense mode, and only one stat applied to each position that it was in. So whenever I started playing Hearthstone, I would only look at the attack points of the card and think that that's what determined how good it was. But then I had to start, especially playing through Arena, you start looking at how valuable cards are based on their health as they are weighed against their attack points. And so, which that kind of lends itself more towards the Magic side. That's something that if you're coming from another game, that's kind of one of the things that you need to learn very quickly in Hearthstone.
What would you say is your favorite deck to play?
Right now, I am loving Tempo Mage, and I've been trying actually Jab's Casino Mage and going bonkers with that on the ladder. And I've kind of made some tweaks to make it more of my liking, but I play Mage all day, every day.
After hearing about the Casino Mage, I heard a few people bring it up, and they talked about it on Angry Chicken, and so I decided to give it a try, but I think I'm missing some... I don't have Ragnaros,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, well, if the whole point of the deck is to kind of be RNG, then I put in Sneeds and a couple other things, and I don't know if I'm just not doing it right, or I haven't had a ton of luck with it yet.
Yeah, you kind of have to roll the dice and just be okay with what happens.
So, a buddy of mine who did our initial Heroes of the Storm episode with us, Ignatian, he's way into Hearthstone too, and he's recently come up with a Joust Hunter deck.
Yeah.
And holy crap, dude, that deck is awesome, dude. It is so fun, man. It is like, I mean, I know a lot of people weren't too keen on the Joust mechanic, but the way this deck is built is that you really do win most of the Joust, and man, it is good stuff. It is a fun deck. I'll share that.
Yeah.
Share that.
Yeah, I'm one of those that hasn't really gotten behind the Joust mechanic quite yet.
I couldn't stand it. And then he was like, man, I really like this. I'm actually proud of this deck, you know. And so he sent it over to me, and I'm like, all right. And I crafted a couple cards I was missing. And dude, it is. I had basically built a Face Hunter deck, like, I don't know, like forever ago. It was like the first Hunter deck I ever made. I built that and never changed it. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I've deleted that deck. And now this is my go-to Hunter deck. And it is fun.
So, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, for sure. I guess that if you're all about the Mage then. And
oh, yeah.
Daryl asked his question.
I'm getting there. What is your favorite card?
It's kind of hard to say. I mean, there's so many, you know, amazing, fun cards. In terms of, you know, totally awesome, I love the new Mage Legendary Ronin, simply because of how it fits into the Mage archetype and Tempo Mage in general. I love when you play it, your opponent either has to polymorph it or silence it, otherwise you're going to get the full benefit of it, and then you can combine it with other cards, because I love it when a good plan comes together, you know. But in terms of pure silliness, awesome hilariousness, I gotta go with my Whirling Zap-O-Matic. Whee! You gotta love the sounds that Blizzard has put into the cards. So
awesome, right on. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Hearthstone?
Can I say being on here with you guys?
Of course. Well,
you may not feel that way in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, playing Hearthstone has kind of allowed me to interact with the community in a variety of ways. I used to write for MOTD Media over there with Heather Lee from My Epic Heels, and wrote Hearthstone articles for them, and a variety of other things. And so that you know, that's just really, you know, this has kind of been a great venue for me to kind of get out there and share my views with people. You know, and Hearthstone is just such a great game, and yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah. What do you think of the Warstown Commander nerf?
It's about time. I feel like they went a little overboard with the nerf bat on this one. You know, if you really think about it, it's really a worse version of the raid leader now. If they had done like charge plus two, or you know, only cards you play from your hand gain charge, or something like that, I felt that would have been okay. But you know, all the same, I'm kind of glad to see Patron Warrior kind of ease its way out of here.
Not going to lie, dude. I think the nerf was harsh, but I totally agree. I think that Patron Warrior was just super annoying. So it's kind of nice to see it maybe go the wayside.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It's just not fun. It's not a fun deck to play against. It's fun and engaging and really intellectual for the user, but it's like watching someone play solitaire.
Yeah, it was pretty mathy. In that kind of annoying sort of way. So.
Rob, do you have any more interview questions?
Should we get into this? No, I think a lot of the discussion I have will mainly be probably in the contents section. So,
okay,
I'm good. Thank you.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, and that is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. Rob mentioned at the start, after our episode with Molson on Henstone 101, Russell sent us a very good email on some other tips, I asked if he wanted to be on the show, and he said yes, so here we are. If you just want to take us through these tips here, and if you've got any extras, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're talking with Molson, it seemed like a lot of your frustrations had kind of been with, I don't have enough cards, and I really don't feel motivated to get more cards because, you know, I'm not winning a whole lot. Well, I felt like one of the best ways for beginners to kind of get in there and get some cards, you know, in an easy way, but also learn how to use other cards is to play in the arena. Unless you're spending your gold on, you know, the adventure mode and getting cards through that way, I always try to save my gold for arena because, a pack on its own costs 100 gold and arena run costs 150 gold. Regardless of how many games you win or lose, you will always come out with one pack from the arena. So at the very least, you're spending 150 gold for that pack. Now, if you win a couple games, one or two, you're going to get some gold. You're going to get some dust. So if you, spend a lot of time in the arena and get really good at it, if you come out of the arena with at least, four or five, maybe six or seven wins, you're going to be essentially earning more than you actually spent. And so you might as well be spending your gold on the arena in that case. And also you're getting dust and, extra gold that you can be using to craft and buy more cards. Just like I said, it's a great way to practice too, because, if you're having trouble building decks or you're having trouble kind of determining which cards are good cards, which cards are bad cards, the arena is the entire game is a game of discrimination. You are given three choices. You have to make the best choice of that three based on the value of that card. Now, a couple tips about making a deck in the arena. A lot of new players, they'll try to make their arena decks to be like a constructed deck. Oh, well, I'm going to go into arena and I'm going to make a mech mage. I'm going to make a, and in most cases you can probably get a beast hunter or, because that's really easy to make in the arena. But really, you want to not worry about combos. You don't want to worry about building families and stuff like that. You want to try and break down your arena into thirds. So you have your first 10 cards that you pick, your second 10 cards that you pick, and your third 10 cards that you pick. In the first 10 cards that you pick, you want to focus almost entirely on value. And in terms of value, I mean, when you see those three cards come up, say that you're a mage. Is it a fireball? Pick it. Is it a flame strike? Pick it. Is it a high health minion, like Chillwind Yeti? Pick it. You want cards that it doesn't matter what they combo with by themselves. If you were to draw that card, it's going to be instantly useful to you on the field. Then in the second 10 amount of cards, you can go ahead and start to fill out the places that you're missing in your mana curve. So if in your first 10 picks, you started to pick a lot of really high value cards, but maybe you picked too many, five, six or seven mana cards. In that second 10, you now have the option to start picking, twos, threes, and fours that might be of slightly lesser value, but are now you're able to kind of fill out your mana curve. And it's also around this time and in also in the late 10 cards that you can focus on. If there are some combos in there, say you maybe grab some mech cards, you can grab like the Goblin Blast Mage for the mage, or you know, if you're playing a warrior and you happen to get some pirates, maybe you get some pirate synergy. You know, that's kind of where you round out the theme of your deck. But really, from you know card one all the way to card 30, focus on what is the most valuable card and go from there.
So how do you determine what's a valuable card? Like what makes it valuable? Maybe that's because I don't understand.
Like, are you saying in general or in arena?
Well, both, I guess. Like what? Like you're saying,
arena is almost a whole different game within the game. So the what would make a card valuable in arena? Mm-hmm. I think would be
There are certain, you know, there are many cards that are just so good in arena, but are god awful in constructed. But there are also some that are good in both. Really, in arena, the game is minion trading. You know, establishing board control by attacking minions into one another, and kind of slowly building up tempo and board control so that you can push against your opponent. So, like, you want cards that are going to be able to trade either against a minion that has a higher mana cost. So, say, like, you want to get a 2-mana minion with 3 attack, because that might be able to trade with a 3-mana minion that has 3 attack or 3 health. Sorry. You know, or in the case of cards like Chillwind Yeti that have a lot of health, those cards can maybe pick off one or two lesser, you know, minions. So they can take out a 2-mana minion and a 3-mana minion that don't have a lot of attack. That's a really high value minion because it's basically giving you a 2-for-1 trade. And so that's the kind of the situation there.
Okay.
You know, a great way, if you're not really good at making those discriminations on your own, you can go to places like Icy Veins. They have guides on there that for every single class, they have every single card listed under, you know, good, bad, poor, crappy, ultimate, you know, just they have all these different tiers of, you know, if you see these three cards picked, you just go to that chart and say, well, this card's better than this card, this card's better than this card. And that's kind of a basic way of going about it. A kind of more advanced way of going about it is go to hearthArena.com. And they actually just came out within the past week this awesome new overlay that goes with Hearth Arena. If you go to overwolf.com, that's where you can download it. And what it does is you can open this up in your game client, and it will go over your cards in the draft for Arena. And what it'll do is it'll give you a percentage over each card that will basically rank it. Say you're playing Druid, up comes Druid of the Claw, Wrath, and, Power of the Wild. And it'll say, Druid of the Claw is better in this case because we need this mana minion, or we need this because it fits within our deck, or we need removal, or something like that. And it not only does it tell you this is a better card, but it tells you why it's a better card. And so that kind of trains you into doing it either on your own or just helps you in constructing a good deck. So I recommend anyone who's new at Arena or even experienced at Arena, go to hearthArena.com, go to overwolf.com and download that overlay and use it in your game.
I've only done Arena a couple times, but I've actually gone and manually done the Hearth Arena thing where you go and, you know, you type in the cards that you have. But now I think their tool is... The overlay is supposed to be a lot better, right?
Oh yeah. It's really good. And the thing is, you know, it's teaching you why and how so that you can kind of make your own informed decisions. There have been times where I've actually disagreed with Hearth Arena because a human being is going to make a more, you know, subjective and in some cases objective decision over certain cards and stuff like that, depending on the situation. So, you know, no one's forcing you to do anything. It's just giving you these tools, and, you know, mm-hmm. you can do with them what you will.
Okay. Now, something else you mentioned, the mana curve. I understand what the mana curve is, but what should it be like? Like, what should it look like? What are you basically going for on your mana curve?
You essentially want to try and maximize your early game as much as possible. There's nothing worse than, you know, you get your opening hand, you click on the cards to send them back for your mulligan, and you still draw higher mana cards, and you can't play anything until turn 4 or 5 or 6, and it's really frustrating because by that time your opponent has, you know, played 6 or 7 cards at that time. So essentially, when you're drafting the arena, you'll see at the bottom it has, you know, the different amounts of cards that you've picked for each mana cost. You want to essentially have the most in your deck 2 drops, then 3, then 4, then 5, and 6, and 7, and 8. You want to start high with the low drops and then diminish over the course of as you go higher in the mana curve. So it'll actually curve downwards as you go on into the higher costs. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be different deck types that favor, like, there's a Warlock deck that favors really high cost cards.
Right.
And it plays around the fact that when you take damage, some cards are cheaper. So there's different styles of decks that actually will end up being not purely, following the curve, I guess.
Yeah. And a lot of that will happen in the constructed, and especially with Druid or with the Warlock, that tends to happen a lot. And it can happen in Arena too. But on a general basis with the Arena, especially, it's all about mana usage, mana efficiency, and tempo. And so you want to get that early curve as good as you can.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a, you're asking about how to tell whether a card is good or not. And I think Russell explained it pretty well for Arena. Russell, do you think that generally a card that's good in Arena is good in Constructed as well? Or is it?
Not necessarily. There are some that are good for both, like Fireball, for instance. In Arena, there's a lot of cards that that are just vanilla. They don't have any special effect, you know, like Chillwind Yeti or Capture Jamungar or War Golem. You know, a lot of these big minions, they don't really have a place in Constructed because you want your Constructed cards to kind of do more than one thing. Mm-hmm. Like your Flame Wakers, you know, they're actually good both in Arena and in Constructed because they do more than one thing. But you can't really take like a War Golem and bring it into Constructed because you might as well be playing Dr. Boom, because it does more than one thing for the mana that you're playing it for.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's Arena. What do you, and you talked a little bit about being able to build a deck, and you think Arena is probably the best way to do that? Or I've only played Arena a couple times, and I've actually picked up some packs here and there outside of Arena, and I don't know. Arena is a completely different game to me. So,
yeah, I mean, in the terms of general deck construction, Arena is a great way to go about it. Obviously, there's a lot of things that if you try to build a deck with an Arena mindset, it'll set you up pretty good in terms of making sure that your mana curve is great, you get high value minions, all that stuff. But in terms of making sure that you have really good combos and that kind of stuff, you might be getting some bad habits from the Arena when you go into Constructed. So it's not a surefire way of being good in Constructed play, but it's a good start for new players. I would say if you want to get good at building decks, a lot of people kind of get, poo-poo net decking.
I mean, I know they do, but I don't.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, if you're a new player, so what? Learn from, the best way to learn something is to copy it and kind of get in their shoes and figure it out. And I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, it's a great learning tool. It's a great teaching tool. Emulate and then elaborate from there. You know, copy someone's deck, go to Hearthpwn, go to Hearthstone Top Decks, find a deck that you like, you know, and look at how it's constructed. Look at how those pro players design their mana curve. Look at how they and a lot of, you know, the really good players, they will tell you, well, I chose this and I took out this to replace it with this because I was dealing with this on the ladder. You know, if I'm running into a lot of Hunter, I'm going to throw in this card. Read those discussions because it kind of informs you when you are looking to make your own decks in the future. It's not necessarily that you're going to make your own deck and it's going to be good always or it's going to suck always. You kind of have to, you know, mess with it and kind of give it the tools to deal with certain opponents.
Okay. I'm going to ask another total noob question here, just because it's something that you've mentioned, and I've heard it mentioned before, and combos. Now, what makes it a combo? What are good? I'm a total noob at this game. Like, I'm really bad. Like, the Innkeeper still kicks my butt all the time. So when you say combo, I get what a combo is. But how do you know how to make a combo in Hearthstone? Like, how are you putting decks together? Because even when you're drawing cards, it's totally random. How do you get them to work? Like, it's just, fill me in on combos. Fill this noob in. Let me know.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, really community-driven combos that are out there. For instance, like, probably the most famous one is the Druid Force of Nature card with Savage Roar, where it summons the 3/2/2 minions with charge, and then you play Savage Roar, which gives you and all of your characters +2 attack. And so you just swing for the face with this 2-card combo that does 14 damage, and hopefully that kills your opponent. Essentially, a combo is just a big play that uses two or more cards together that maybe not otherwise would have been useful on their own, but when you put them together, they're going to, you know, give you a major advantage or possibly kill your opponent. For instance, speaking of Tempo Mage, the version that I like to run uses Archmage Antonitis, which is the mage card where every time you use a spell, you gain a fireball to your hand, and also uses Ronin, where whenever it dies, you get 3 arcane missiles to your hand. Technically, those two cards are a combo because you kill off your Ronin to get the 3 arcane missiles, play your Archmage Antonitis, maybe throw out a Sorcerer's Apprentice, throw out 3 arcane missiles for free, and then you get 3 free fireballs to your hand. So the next turn, you can just destroy your opponent or clear their board or whatever you want to do. A lot of these plays that are combo driven take kind of foresight. Kind of like you said, even though that we're drawing things at random, you only have 30 cards in your deck, which compared to Magic or other card games, the deck sizes of those card games can get really, really big, 60 cards or more, 30 cards. You can sort of predict what you're going to draw, especially if you're tracking the cards that you draw. You'll kind of think about, oh, well, I've picked these cards out of my deck. Well, I probably have a pretty good chance that this is the next card that I'm going to draw. So you have to be thinking 1, 2, 3, 4 turns ahead so that you can kind of set the framework for your big finishing move.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems crazy to me. Like thinking 4 turns ahead in Hearthstone? I can barely deal with the turn
like
I'm on.
It's chess, man. It is seriously like chess. It's like you have to, if you're not ready for, you know, potentially, you have to know your deck and what you have and kind of like what you could potentially draw and what you could do with your own deck. And then,
right.
And then in the pro scene, I think people start to really just know what's going on with all the other decks. So, I mean, you play one card and then, you know, the person on the other side goes, oh, he's playing this or he's playing, you know.
And I think that playing a combo deck is a great trainer for getting rid of a very new player problem, which is new players, when they see a card in their hand, they just want to play it immediately. I used to have this problem back when I played earlier card games. Fortunately, I'd gotten rid of it by the time I'd gotten to Hearthstone, but when you have a combo deck, you can't waste the cards of your combo. So you don't want to get rid of them in the game and then have the other cards in your hand later and not be able to do this combo. So patience is very, very important. Don't necessarily feel like you have to get rid of every card in your hand. Sometimes it's okay to just wait, maybe manage the board a little bit. Maybe not even use all of your mana, but save those cards because that's really how that Grim Patron Warrior deck works. They control the board with their weapon, with some of their spells, but they keep the cards like Grim Patron and Warsong Commander in their hand until they have the full combo ready to go. And same thing with the Tempo Mage and the Combo Druid.
Okay. Sometimes it's okay to go a couple turns taking some damage and just knowing, like, all right, I'm going to have to eat it, because you know that coming up on, you know, turn 5 or turn 6, you're going to be able to do something pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, oh man, I've got 4 mana and I could play this 4 mana card right now, but like this card right here, if I play it, anytime one of my other cards dies, I draw a card. And if I just play it out on turn 4, it's going to die and I won't get that benefit from it. So sometimes you're like, well, I guess I just need to wait it out, you know, wait until I have some cards on the board and then utilize it, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a good question I have. Then how often do you play things for tempo and just eat the value of the card, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Sort of. Can you kind of rephrase
the question? Okay. So, like, you have a card, for example, like I was just talking about the Cult Master. Whenever one of your other minions dies, draw a card. So sometimes you're sitting there, you're going, okay, I am getting nothing out of this card right now. If I play it right now, because I've got nothing on the board, but I have to play it because I've got nothing on the board and I need the tempo, you know, I need to keep up. Mm-hmm. So where do you measure sometimes saying, okay, fine, I'll just, you know, kind of let the value of this one go in order to,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a good question, and it's kind of, you know, it's a tough one to answer. It's one of those situations where you have to take stock of what's on the board, and you have, if you're an informed enough person to kind of know what the deck your opponent is playing, which in Arena, you know, you can kind of assume that's going to be a value-based game. But in Constructed, you can almost determine on turn 2 or 3 almost every card in someone's deck on the ladder. Most of the decks are the same, you know. So if you're going to waste the value of that card, you have to weigh that against what your opponent may probably play the next turn. Mm-hmm. And if you sacrificing that card is going to give you leverage to kind of delay your opponent a little bit, maybe hold back his combo or prevent him from playing another good minion or, you know, X, Y, or Z here, then yeah, it's definitely worth it. If it only gives you benefit for this one moment, then it may not be worth it. It really has to have maybe, you know, the next turn or the next turn after that amount of value for you in delaying your opponent. Otherwise, it may not necessarily be worth it.
I know there's lots of times where I'm like, I just have to play something. I have to get something on the board. And it's just, you know, you hit that point where you're like, this is too much. But if you don't, then it's like, well, you're kind of screwed if you do or screwed if you don't, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that will happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you've got some other stuff here. You've got one point about watching the pro players.
Yeah. You know, just like listening to a podcast or, you know, watching streams for any other game, there are, you know, a plethora of amazing Hearthstone players who have YouTube channels, Twitch channels, you know, both pro and, you know, slightly less casual. You can watch Amaz, Kriparian, you know, all those guys. They're great deck builders, great arena players, like Trump or Kriparian. Those guys, you know, they are great because they will teach you, the basics. You know, especially Trump. He will go through his arena draft and kind of explain, kind of like Arthurina, kind of like Icy Veins, really go into depth of why he's making the decision that he's making. Mm-hmm. And he will kind of be the first one, you know, and most pro players will. He'll be the first one to say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. and those mistakes made by pro players are just as valuable to learn from as, you know, their triumphs, because, you know, then you can look forward to, you know, whenever you're playing your games, you know, not repeat those mistakes. Kriparian, he does a lot of great videos. He posts one or two a day, of him in the arena, just really discussing each card and how it's affecting the game. So I highly recommend, really find somebody you like, watch them, watch all their games. And just really latch onto the people who are willing to share their knowledge. I've shared some things in the show notes of Trump. He not only is he a great arena player, but he's kind of gotten himself into the ranked scene. In fact, he hit legend, and he's been, you know, going into the competitive scene here lately. Mm-hmm. But he has a whole series of deck teachings where he teaches you kind of the basics of creating different kinds of decks, like Warlock Zoo or Freeze Mage or Combo Druid. He'll tell you a typical deck of this type will include these kinds of cards, and here's why. Whenever you play these cards, you want to use them in conjunction with this, or you want to use these to counter this, and really kind of give you the head to toe analysis of what it is to build these decks. And then he has another series where he has hundreds of videos of arena drafts for every single class, showing what cards are valuable, what cards are not. And all these YouTubers and Twitch streamers have stuff like this. So I really highly encourage people to go and branch out and see what they can find.
Daryl, what's your main gripe with the game?
Oh, that's a good question.
You're pretty like adamant. You're pretty adamant.
Let's get it out on the table.
I know. I can honestly say that when the game came out, I played it a little bit. I didn't like it, and I hated on it pretty heartily. And then then I gave it another shot later, and I was just like, it's just not my thing, you know. And then I don't know, so at some point down the road, they came out on mobile devices, and, you know, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to give this another shot. And it clicked with me. So I don't know what's the thing for you where you're just like, this is a deal breaker, this game, because, you know, it's a running joke now. This game is stupid.
And I don't understand.
and I get the I don't understand thing, because there's so much to it. It's not like you just sit down and ta-da, you know.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, do you have experience in card games of of any kind?
Never. Before? This is my first ever. So my hatred in the beginning came with, because I'll say hatred, because in the beginning I hated it. Like I hated it. I thought it was the worst thing ever. Because I did the tutorial, like it walks you through. Through tutorial, you use the mage deck, and it has you fight, what, five other decks or something like that? Mm-hmm. And then it throws you in and it says, okay, now you play. And it's I think it started with, I moused over it, I think, and it said, practice against the innkeeper or something like that. I'm like, okay, I'll practice and to try and get a little better here and learn what I'm doing. And my very first match, I went in against the innkeeper, and I got annihilated. Like, it wasn't close. It wasn't, like, I was seriously annihilated, like, totally destroyed, like, 30 to nothing. Like, I was dead, and the innkeeper still had 30. And I'm like, this is stupid. How is this fun? And I didn't look at it again for probably a year. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever played. And I don't know what it is now. Like, I haven't played a game in probably, I want to say 2 months, but maybe it's a month. I don't remember. I might have done a brawl, you know, in the last month or month and a half. Like, I want to like it, and I want to, but it's just anytime I go to it, and then I don't understand something, or it just, mm-hmm. I just die. Like, it's all the time. Like, it's,
right.
I'm just not.
Seems like you didn't experience success early enough to kind of get you invested.
Or ever. Right.
Or ever.
Right. So, you know, I've won the odd brawl here and there, but it's like, well, okay, cool. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it is. Like, it's just, there's just something about it that's not clicking with me. And I don't want to hate on the game anymore because I know lots of people enjoy the game and we're doing episodes on them now and that's fine. Like, I'm learning stuff here, like, and I'm asking questions because I want to learn, but, you know, and I'll probably now that, because we did this episode, I'll go play a few games, and if I keep getting destroyed by the innkeeper, I'm probably not going to look at it again for a couple months. Like, it's just the way it is.
So,
you know?
All right, yeah.
Let's spectate you.
That makes sense because, well, that's a really good way. If you're on voice with somebody and you do the, all right, let me watch and
mm-hmm.
talk you through some matches and stuff. That's initially how I got into it. That's what Justin helped me with. And that was like a world of difference, you know?
Right. But then like I've had him, talk me through a game or two as well. And he's telling me what to do. And it's still not clicking on why I'm doing all this. Like, why is he telling me to do this? And it's not clicking. Like it's, I don't know. It's you know, maybe TCGs just aren't my thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm good at math. Like math is one of my strong suits. Like, it really is. And
math
and
is your.
It is. Because, you know, even in high school, I did really good in math. My first bout through university, I was going for a math degree. And I probably would have a math degree if the bar wasn't between my first and second class.
So they opened that early, huh?
I think my first class was at 10 and my second one was at 11 and the bar opened at 11. But anyway, that's many years in the past. So, you know, I went into accounting after that, my next go through, which is all math based, right? So I should be able to understand this game, but it's just not clicking and I don't know why. So I don't mind doing these Hearthstone episodes because I'm hoping one of them will help me click, like it'll help something click and I'll start to enjoy this game that I know a lot of other people and a lot of my friends enjoy too. So yeah, does that explain it, Rob, a little better?
That helps.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yep, it definitely helps.
All right.
So, all right then, Russell, in hearing that, then what can we do that's gonna make a difference? I've even said, you know, man, if it sucks that bad, then it sucks that bad. There is no answer. It just, you don't like it and it's not for you and that's fine, you know? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I had alpha access to Heroes of the Storm and I didn't give it two craps about it up until about maybe, what was it, like a month before release?
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, so it was like, you know, things just like, you don't care, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, man, this is pretty cool, or, you know.
Yeah.
I want to put you in the right setting to where, if this is going to work for you, that you're in that right place, that you don't go in and get wrecked by the innkeeper.
I hate the innkeeper.
My problem is that the game isn't – I hate – the whole pay to win thing, because I don't mm-hmm. feel like it really is a pay to win game, but it is. There's a certain level of success that you can't have without a certain level of investment, whether that's money or time or whatever it is. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't have the adventure expansions, well, you're missing out on some
mm-hmm.
really key, right. awesome cards. you know, and it's like, well, you know, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, and see, there's another part of it, too, right there. It says, I'm not enjoying the game enough to go and drop $20 on the adventure. Like, it's not worth $20 to do it. Because what if I spend that $20 to get these cards and I still don't have any fun? Well, I just threw $20 out the window.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right? I think I kind of went for it. And with that Nax expansion, you know, I just did it, you know. I had moved to Austin and my family hadn't quite moved out here yet. So I had, mm-hmm. you know, some time and an iPad and just decided to give it a try. And I was like, holy crap, this is pretty cool, you know? And it was those adventures because it wasn't against people. I knew that I was going up against a computer and I could get through it. And once I did that, you started to build your cards up a little bit. Then all of a sudden,
well, and here's the thing about the adventures, too, is that you can't really get through the adventures unless you kind of get creative with building your deck. And you can net deck some, you know, of how to beat each boss or whatever. But what's great about the adventures is that each boss is different, and they put you in these scenarios that you would not experience in a typical Hearthstone game. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to, intelligently navigate through all these fun, quirky scenarios, and it really kind of trains you in things that you wouldn't otherwise expect. And so it prepares you, and it's kind of a little training ground. So I recommend, you know, doing those adventures, you know, going through all that, you know, if it means building up your gold through tavern brawl or, you know, your daily quests or through arena, I mean, get those adventures. I think it's going to help you out a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy the adventures with gold, but it is like, to me, that's like, unless you really, really like the game and you're playing it a lot as it is, you're not going to buy adventures from saving up gold.
No, it takes me about a month to complete a quest right now, so maybe more.
The spectate quest takes him about a month.
Yeah, even that one is.
I'll tell you something that has worked for myself and my fiance is that she doesn't like to spend money on the game, but she loves Hearthstone. She just likes to play. And so she's been slowly building up her library, you know, just playing every day. And we will play against one another by crafting decks. We'll go into to our collections menu, pick a hero. And when we go to create the deck, we don't pick anything and we click done, and it'll say, would you like us to finish the deck for you? And it will randomly pick
of the cards. That's a blast.
Yeah, and it's so fun. And, you know, obviously if your library is more extensive than your opponent's, then you kind of have a better chance of winning. But you just get to play and have fun, and, you know, there's no stakes. There's no threat of, you know, of losing to a computer who is going to, you know, taunt you, or an opponent who's going to taunt you. But, you know, it's just a safe environment where you can kind of learn. And, she kind of, you know, helps me and I help her, and we learn together. So it's a fun time.
All right.
You have something here about mana management and the coin. And,
yeah.
But that's pretty important stuff. What do you...
Yeah, the coin is so unique to Hearthstone, and it's a great way of Blizzard kind of making an attempt to balance out the first turn versus going second and you know, getting too much of an advantage. So people see that coin and they think, turn one, I got to play a minion as quick as I can so that my opponent doesn't beat me out. And you know, they'll throw out that coin, throw out a two mana minion, and what happens the next turn? Well, it's probably going to die. Either, you know, the hunter is going to use arcane shot or hit it with their weapon, or, you know, dark bomb from the warlock. It's going to be gone, and then your opponent not only has killed your minion, but you've wasted your coin, and now your opponent has one more minion than you do. So really, In the early game, unless you're going to get some secondary value from it, like using a coin for mad scientist or using a coin for, you know, shielded mini bot with the paladin or some really good two mana minion, it's not necessarily good to get that early tempo unless you have to. Really, you want to use the coin to kind of smooth out your mana curve. So if you look at your hand and, I'll use the example that I have written down here. You have a 2-mana minion, a 4-mana minion, and a 5-mana minion. You get your first turn. Just pass. You can wait a turn, wait until turn 2, throw down that 2-mana minion. Say that you don't draw a 3-mana minion for turn 3, you can now use that coin on turn 3 to toss out your 4-mana minion. So you've used the coin to kind of eat out a little bit more value earlier, but with a good quality minion that's not going to die necessarily to one other minion or a spell. So, or in some other sense, instances, it's good to use the coin with combos. Like if you're a mage player, save the coin for using it with Archmage Antonitis or with Flamewaker or something like that. And I'll kind of explain the scenario that I've written down here as well. Using the coin, is useful for keeping you on curve. But sometimes you are going to have to play cards that don't use your mana efficiently in order to help keep the board under control. Most of the time you're going to try and stay on curve, but you, in most cases, that's what you're going to do. But you can kind of inefficiently use your mana if it means that it's going to keep you in tempo. So I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Say that's turn 4, you have 4 mana. In your hand, you have a 2-mana minion, a 3-mana minion, and a 4-mana minion. Depending on what the board situation is like, it's going to affect what you're going to be playing. So I've kind of limited down to 2 options. Again, you have 4 mana, so we can either play our 4-mana minion and just throw it out there, or we can play the 2-mana minion and use the hero power. Now, playing these two options gives you a couple of scenarios in the next turn, and you have to think about this whenever you're playing your cards. So if we used the 4-mana minion, then the next turn we have the option of playing our 3-mana minion that we had in our hand and using the hero power for 5 mana on turn 5. So we can be efficient with our mana and establish good board presence on turn 4. Or if we did the play the 2-mana minion and use the hero power the next turn, we can toss out that 4-mana minion either on turn 5 or save it for turn 6 and then use the hero power then, or play another minion. So when you're going to play cards, yes, look at how much mana you have and try to make it as efficient as possible. Use all the mana that you have, but also think about what you're going to have in your hand to deal with your opponent the next turn and the next turn, and then use that to inform your decisions about what you play this turn. Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's tough for new players, really kind of understanding. Yeah, you see the mana get bigger and bigger and bigger every time, so you feel this immediate urge to just play as big of a minion as possible every single turn, but that may not necessarily be the best play. You got to think a little ways down the road.
All right, I think.
You think?
I think. No guarantees.
Would you have any other pro tips?
I would say if you have some dust lying around, and you're trying to decide what cards you want to draft, or yeah, you want to craft, the first legendary that you probably should craft nowadays, since the Goblins versus Gnomes came out, is most definitely Dr. Boom. You can probably stick that in every deck, and it's going to be fine. It gives you its value immediately, so craft that. A lot of people ask that kind of thing. I would say probably the next minion would be Sylvanas, because she's also one of those minions where you play it on the board, and your opponent has to deal with it immediately. In fact, it'll probably cause them to misplay in some way. I start to sweat a little bit when my opponents play Sylvanas because I'm worried that something's going to go terribly wrong. So, yeah, I would say that that's probably one of those that you should get out of the way. Yeah, other than that, I don't think I have much.
All right. I don't think I have any other questions. I think that would all make sense to me.
Okay.
I don't think I have any questions at the moment, anyway. Like, I have lots of questions, but not... Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay.
I think.
I do have some things prepared for things I learned the hard way that are also pro tips, so...
awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're at green text here, Rob.
Oh, green text?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't scrolled down. But you know what I was thinking? If you have anything to add to this show or topics about future shows, you can send us an email at thetrainingdummies.com, the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Or because we've asked people to and they refuse to do it, go leave a voicemail on the show site. If you go to thetrainingdummies.com, there's a button over there that says leave voicemail. And if you push that button, it would be awesome.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right, Russell, what did you learn the hard way?
Oh my god, too many things. there have been so many games of Hearthstone where I've moved too quickly and misplayed, and almost immediately afterwards, why did I do that? Especially, you know, if you're playing like a handlock, you know, the warlock, that basically adds as much cards to your hand as possible, so that you can play those big, giants, and, you kind of have a big hand all the time. When I was first learning that deck, I would just press Life Tap every turn so I can get as many cards in my hand as possible. Don't do this whenever you have 9 or 10 cards in your hand, because you just paid 2 mana to fill up your hand and then discard one the next turn. And 2 health, I might add. It sounds like, well, how could you make that mistake? Well, believe me, it's happened to many people before. you will get punished. And also, same thing, if you're playing Freeze Mage, don't throw out an Acolyte of Pain when your hand is almost full either, because someone else who's very good at punishing you will do so. They will ping that Acolyte 3 times, fill up your hand, and you'll get punished. So
you can only have 10 in your hand then? Is that...
Right. After you have 10, any other cards you add will just get burned away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll just get destroyed. They pop up in front of you, and you get to see what it is, and it's the one card that you've been waiting for, and then it goes, right? And you're like, no!
One thing, too, is I've pretty much told myself to never play Mage or anything that uses big spells on my iPad, or especially on my iPhone. because I have fireballed my face more times than I can count by dragging my finger across the screen and accidentally lifting it up just so slightly. And then my opponent just says, I'm sorry. And I quit, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've actually lost a match doing that with the hunter one where you can do the beast. If you have a beast on the board, you can do 5 damage with a shot.
Oh, kill command.
Kill command. Yep, I've kill commanded my face and lost the game on a game that I had in the bag. I was like, already won.
Nice.
That wasn't even my thing I learned the hard way, but the, like Russell was saying a minute ago with that handlock deck where you where you like you build up all these giants, and the more damage you take, it makes these guys cheaper. And I was like so stoked because I had two molten giants in my hands, and I had them down to like four mana each. And I was like, oh, perfect! I can play them both on this turn. This is great. And I was like, oh, you know what I'm gonna do though, because my health is really low, and I was like, you know what, I wanna play one of them, but I also want to play this. The antique heal bot, which heals you for 8 health. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, of course, I played the heal bot first. I wasn't thinking about it. I played that first. So it healed me up enough to where I could not afford to play either of the other cards that I wanted to play. So that's a good time.
I've seen people do the same thing with Jiraxis. If you have Jiraxis, it will reset your health to 15.
Oh, yeah.
But your max health becomes 15, so your Molten Giants basically can't be used.
Yeah, they go back up to full cost again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Daryl probably has something, but it would probably just be like playing against the Innkeeper.
Probably. I've got hundreds of these things, but I can't remember them all. Well, I found out the hard way what a fatigue rogue is.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know what fatigue was until all of a sudden I was dead. I'm like, well, what happened?
Hey, why? Yeah, because I remember you came into chat afterwards and you're like, this game is stupid. What the heck, man?
Yeah. Oh, there was another one, too, where I died and I didn't even see what happened. I can't remember it now. I played a card and then I was dead. But
well, it depends on, like, if it's a Warlock card, if it's, like, Hellfire that does damage to everything, including yourself.
No, because I usually watch for those. It was something else that was ridiculous, and it was just all of a sudden I was dead. No, I had a weapon, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I attacked with my weapon, and then I was dead. That's what it was. Yeah, I think I attacked a minion on the board with my weapon, but I rarely played a class that has a weapon because I usually play Warlock on Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a weapon. So I played one with a weapon, attacked a minion on the board that had more attack power than my health, and I was dead. But I didn't realize it until after I was looking at it, he attacked, and then all of a sudden my thing blew up and I didn't know what happened.
So you prefer a Warlock in Hearthstone as well?
Huh? I don't prefer
anything.
Did
you say that's your main?
Hend is my main.
It echoes how Hearthstone echoes your sentiment.
Right. Oh, I'm sure I could go on if I just think back of things I've learned the hard way in this game.
Awesome.
Pretty much every death I've had, I've learned the hard way that the Innkeeper is not to be trifled with.
Yeah, that dude's a butthole.
Totally is. Yeah, I think that's all I've got for now. Because, yeah. All right.
Hey, don't matter what you're out of town. He's got some shudders to send over. So let's turn it all around. And scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to use and love.
All right, Hen Love. I give some head love to our guildies in Had One Job on the Deathwing server, and also to our raid team, Team Crab Deck. And as well, I need to send some head love to Russell for not only sending us that awesome email, which was just fantastic. I love seeing a feedback like that from listeners, but for agreeing to come on the show this evening and explain everything just a little bit more. I think I've learned some more about Hearthstone. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Rob, what do you got?
Definitely, Russell. Thanks for coming on. And thanks for, you know, the kind of the pain in the butt that we had getting everything scheduled and just coming back. And I guess this is third time's a charm. But thanks for coming on. Everybody, get ready for BlizzCon. It's not so much as a shout out, but like definitely stoked about BlizzCon. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you guys. Russell, what about you? What do you got?
I want to send some head love to my fiance, who goes by Zephyr in the game, and my brother, Revo Green. They play the game with me almost every week, and they really just keep it fun. We play new decks against each other and do Tavern Brawl, and, you know, my brother, he's a better deck maker than I am, so he'll make a deck that's totally new and totally innovative, and he'll share it with me, and he'll totally kick my butt with it. And, you know, it helps me get up the ladder every month. So I also want to send some hen love to my World of Warcraft guildies in the Lords of the Exodar on the Duskwood server. And I just want to thank you guys for having me on. You know, I've listened to you guys since day one, and I've really enjoyed every episode, and I'm excited for you guys to keep going.
That's well, thank very you. Kind of you.
Yes, very nice. Thank you very much.
Well, before we wrap up the show, Russell, do you want to let people know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, stalk you, send hand love to you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Roseiden Priest, capital R, capital P. And you can find some of my old guides on Message of the Day Media, motdmedia.com. And you can look forward to more content on my Twitter page.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 109 of The Trading Dummies. You can find this episode, or find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetradingdummies.com. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!